Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Kevin Hagan joins us on Wednesdays, presented by SoulStreetCoffee.com. Order there, everybody. You will not be disappointed. Delicious coffee and tea on that site, SoulStreetCoffee.com. Kevin, how you been, sir?
Great, Bill. How are you doing?
What is, and here's the question everybody's asking me to ask you. What's going on with Zach Evans? Because it appears to be trending towards the Aggies.
I made a couple calls yesterday and talked to some people in the program, and asked the direct question and was told that that story out there is somewhat of a misrepresentation of facts. And I asked the point blank question: do you feel like he's slipping away? And I was told that Alabama still feels good about him. Obviously, you know, Texas A&M aren't going away, but there's a breakup and they're not speaking anymore and all that. I was told that is not true. That is
did something true. Happen with a coach?
You know, I'm not going to say yes or no. I will say this: the story about. Let me say this for fans who don't know how recruiting goes. In the process of recruiting, and this is a general example, this is not a Zach Evans story, okay? In general, sometimes you do have to have what I would call tough love conversations with recruits. Sometimes it's about their academics. Sometimes it's about their dedication to weight and some other issues. But generally, with Alabama, when those tough love conversations have to happen, they happen with the boss, not with the position coach doing the recruiting. They happen with the boss, and they happen on official visits, and oftentimes they can happen on the in-home visit when there's some issues that the coach just wants to make sure that, hey, you know, these are some things that, you know, we need to look at and some concerns that we might have moving forward. Those are all handled by the man, not the position coach. And reading what it's out there, I can tell you that if an Alabama assistant coach talked to a premier recruit like that, Bill, his job would be in jeopardy.
Kevin Hagan with us, presented by SoulStreetCoffee.com. What else is happening in Alabama country that's got everybody tuned in?
Well, it's kind of that lull period, you know, where the players are working out and going to summer school. We have SEC Media Days next week. Excuse me, Coach Saban will address the media next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central Time from the Winfrey Hotel. So that kind of gets people excited. But, you know, people are just kind of grasping for any news of recruiting. So any recruiting rumors kind of going to become wildfire or whatever. And speculation on, you know, who's going to start here and what position battles or whatever. It's just, you know, it's just kind of the dog days of summer. You know, I was just listening to your first hour and talking about certain magazines. And, you know, the magazines to me are kind of like the media days for the diehard fans, people who listen to your show. I mean, do you learn anything reading those magazines? No, but we all rush out and buy them. Same thing with SEC Media Days. Thanks to the internet and Twitter and everything, news happens so much quicker. But it's just trying to whet the appetite. Some fans, of course, do their countdowns, which is just I cringe at the countdown to kickoff day. You know, how many days to kickoff? It's just, I think if you were to ask Alabama fans, Bill, July is probably their longest month of the year because it's oh so close, but we're not quite there yet.
The wide receiver core, and again, plural, led by Jerry Jeudy, but lots of players. Is this not only during the Saban era, but we can go back to, if you want to go back to Ray Perkins, we can do it. It doesn't matter. We all remember those days. Is this the deepest group they've had?
Oh, absolutely. It is unquestionably the deepest and the most talented wide receiving group ever at the University of Alabama. And if you look at a lot of these publications, I've yet to see one that didn't list Alabama as the number one wide receiving group in the country. And I laughed and I talked to some of my buddies and I say, did you ever think we'd see the day where Alabama had the deepest and the most talented wide receiving core in the nation? You're just not in a position, you know, 10, 20 years ago that you would expect Alabama to. But that's where Alabama is. Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs III, Jalen Waddle, and then you know, John Michie, who came in and had a fabulous spring. He's had a fabulous spring. Slade Bolden in the slot position. And then I think Terrell Shavers is going to have an opportunity to get some quality time on the field this year. This is a very, very deep and talented Alabama wide receiving core, and they'll certainly utilize those talents this season as they do the game plan. But I will say, you're going to see more of a pro set offense from Alabama this year with Steve Sarkisian, and I think one of the things you'll see less of, and I certainly hope so, is I don't know that we'll see Tua Tagovailoa running around carrying the ball as much as he did this past year. That Sark's going to want him to. They worked a lot this spring on him getting the ball out of his hands very, very quickly to just keep him healthy and avoid the hits.
Anything new on Tua's health?
No, it's a minor hamstring issue. Of course, I mean, you know, hamstrings are something that they can linger, so it's something you want to take care of. But it's not a major deal. Had it been, you know, during the season, he would have still continued to play. They're just trying to get him ready to go for the spring. He has put on 10, 15 pounds of good, solid muscle, trying to beef him up. But as I said, they worked a lot this spring on him, getting the ball out of his hands and just avoiding contact in general, getting out of bounds, sliding and all. I don't think you're going to see him run the ball like he did last year. There's no sense putting him in those positions, Bill, none whatsoever.
I didn't read the article. You might have, but I saw it on Twitter, and I didn't get a chance to click. But it was Feinbaum talking about the coaching turnover at Alabama, meaning under Nick. 13, I guess the number is, the last 2 years, saying that is somewhat of an issue. Talk about that. Is that a concern?
Well, I'll tell you where it rears its ugly head, and I've talked about it before in this segment, is in recruiting. It's really, really hard when you're trying to finish out a recruiting class and these position coaches are building relationships with the recruits, and then all of a sudden they're off to another job in the final couple of months. If it's not an early signee, they have a new position coach. In my opinion, recruiting is the first sign. But second, the continuity in the program, it is a big issue. Like you said, 6 the previous year, 7 this year. This group, though, has been a really great group in terms of working together. It's a much better recruiting staff than he had last year. Coach Saban, in my opinion, bringing Sal Cenceri back was a huge, huge addition to this program. He's familiar with Coach Saban. They work really, really well together. Charles Kelly has been another outstanding addition to the staff, as has Brian Baker. So, but you know, I point this out to Alabama fans all the time, and some of them will disagree with me, saying, "Oh, as long as Coach Saban's at the top, you know, I don't care." But the reality is, and Coach would agree with this, I think, if you ask him, you can't keep having 6 and 7 new coaches every single year. It's really, really hard. Now, obviously, Coach Saban's never going to have a situation where nobody leaves the program, simply because coaching under Nick Saban is an opportunity. It's a tremendous stepping stone, and let's be honest, most of these guys want to be head coaches, and it's a great opportunity to do that. But I would really hope to see 7 or 8 of these assistants come back next year and only have, you know, 2 or 3 openings. That would be really, really great, because the continuity in recruiting and just putting everything together would be really, really hard. Of course, it's a benefit that Coach Sarkisian has previously worked for Coach Saban. That's kind of helped with his transition this year. But, yeah, it's tough, and it's tough even on Coach Saban, who does a great job of managing his program.
Did I see, and it might have been a couple of months ago, where Vinny Censuri is coaching? Where is
he's a GA. Yeah.
That's okay. So he's there.
Yeah, but
wow.
Vinny's there. Tino's there, and his dad is there, Sal. So we've got the entire Censuri clan at Alabama, and they're all doing outstanding. I've heard rave reviews about Tino Censuri, the former quarterback at Pitt. I've heard that he is a bright, up-and-coming coach, and people within the program cannot provide enough accolades to the job that Tino Censuri's done. He's a name to watch moving forward in the coaching ranks, is what I've been told.
Good stuff, Kevin. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, have a great day as always, everybody, and roll tide.
Kevin Hagan talking Alabama, soulstreetcoffee.com. Check that out, soulstreetcoffee.com, and order coffee, tea, and you will not regret it. Delicious products by our good friend Kenneth, soulstreetcoffee.com. Back to, you know how we talk about teams that are building and rising and trying to get a piece of the upper echelon, trying to penetrate into that area. And I'm not talking just about the Chalky Five, which is Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, that group. That is the Chalky Five. But just building and becoming part of the elite. And I'll tell you how you do it. Well, number one, you better be well coached. And that starts with your head coach. Cannot be an average head coach. It's got to be an excellent head coach. But here's the other angle. You got to go get elite players. That's next in line. If you look at the Aggies right now, you look at the SEC West, and Alabama's been the king for a long time, and I don't necessarily think that's going to change. But we had Tubbs on, what, a week or so ago? And when I said, who else in the West? If it's Alabama, who do you mention next? He went to the Aggies. And if you look at them, if you're going to bring in Hollywood Demus, who is a crazy talent at wide receiver, you got to watch this guy. This guy is an immediate star. And let's say they do continue to trend for Zach Evans. We'll see what happens there. But I think that's real. That's how you become prominent. Those individual pieces like that are hard to come by. And if you're the Aggies, you're sitting in recruiting heaven. You are sitting around talent that is limitless. And if you get this streak, this trend going, where now you become the popular thing, you've got everything in place to win big. Is it good enough to unseat Alabama? Not yet. And again, Alabama's got a million years of history, and A&M doesn't compared to Alabama. But every resource necessary to win big is at A&M. There's nothing that you wish you had that you don't have at A&M other than the history of doing it. And that counts for something. I mean, history does teach you lessons. That's why it's called history. It's why you go back and you study it. But it doesn't mean you can't make new history. It's hard. The football gods, before we get the break, I've told you this many times, and you need to take copious physical and mental notes about this. The football gods do not like new teams rising. And A&M's not new, but I'm talking about a team without a history of winning big. The football gods make it virtually impossible for you to join the elite. It's a very exclusive country club. They don't like it. They don't permit it. So it's hard. But if there's a team, and I'll repeat, that has every resource available to do it, it's A&M. And I'm talking about from the group that has never really done it on that level. Yeah, they had some moments with Jackie Sherrill and R.C. Slocum, and we can go back and review years that went well. I'm talking about a history. They don't have LSU's history. No, they don't have LSU's. LSU's another place, but LSU's not new. It's a different topic there. We'll get the break. We're coming right back. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
A wreck on I-40 eastbound between Old Hickory Boulevard and Charlotte Pike in West Nashville. 65 southbound and 24 eastbound, both slow from Ewing Drive to Trinity Lane toward the North Loop. Ellington Parkway southbound developing a bit of a snarl across Cleveland. Self-storage solutions with clean new facilities in Greenbrier and Springfield. Rent online anytime at selfstoragesolutionstn.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine. The most romantic steak house in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For July, try any wrap, hot or cold, with chips and drink at the special price of only $6.99. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
I'm Eric Opron, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlets to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the Biscuit Bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale Honky Tonk Bar Lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
Aye, oh, let's go. Aye, oh, let's go. Aye, oh, let's go.
We'll be at the Omni Friday, right outside of Bongo Java, Omni Nashville Hotel. Bottom of the hour, which is 7-8 minutes out. Gator Dave will be with us. Typically, he's with us on Tuesday, had a conflict. So he needed to move it to today. Next week, we go back to Tuesdays. Gator Dave, bottom of the hour. Got to be careful. Steven in Atlanta monitoring the show. And we were just talking about the football gods. Steven says, Bill, what do you mean it's impossible for newcomers to join the elite in college football? Didn't UCF just win a natty 2 years ago? I knew I'd get busted there. I just knew it. UCF. They claimed a natty. I don't think they were good enough, but they claimed a natty. You can claim a natty. If you're an AD at a place that doesn't get respect, you just put up a natty banner in your gym or in the stadium or something, you can. Nobody has a rule that says you can't. The football gods, they do not like new people coming to the country club. They don't. Maybe they're discriminatory, the football gods, but it's true. They very rarely let somebody new in. Now, there are examples in history where, for whatever reason, they allowed it. Miami would be one. Before 83, Howard Snellenberger, Miami had no history. Matter of fact, they were basically a laughingstock. Snellenberger starts a string where Miami wins five natties in, what, 18 years? Between 83 and 01, they win five natties, and they do it with different coaches. They did it with Snellenberger, Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson. Who's that bum that they let coach after Butch Davis left? I had him on the show, remember that? They did it with four different coaches. That's even more impressive. They did it, and there wasn't really coaching continuity there. Didn't matter. That's how good they were. That is a rare exception that the college football gods granted. They do not do that. I don't know what you've got to do to get them to make it accessible. Other than, well, you got to be real good. That's pretty obvious. But I'm just saying, what do you need to be able to penetrate into there if you've never been there before? Is there another one that's as prominent as Miami? Well, you could say, we could take all the Florida schools. Florida had no history either before Spurrier, really. Everybody always talked prior about what kind of sleeping giant it was, but the University of Florida had done nothing. Charlie Pell was on the edge of getting it done, and then the NCAA thing hit. But before Spurrier, nothing really that stands out. Doug Dickey was supposed to be the savior. He wasn't. Florida State had not become the monster that it was going to become under Bobby Bowden yet, back there in the 80s. Even though he'd been there a couple of years, but took a while to get it kick-started, and then it was awesome for Florida State. A dominant 1990s. So really, you could say the football gods allowed Miami, Florida, and Florida State with no past rich tradition history to enter the pearly gates. That whole state. Well, the big three there, for sure. They don't allow that. Folks, they do not allow it. You've got to remember that. Hawkeye Jason reminded me. Now, Buckeye Brenda brought this up earlier. Happy birthday, Urban Meyer. Today is Urban Meyer's Ashtabula Jesus' birthday is today. He was at the Omni probably a couple of months ago, having breakfast with some friends of mine. I can't tell you who they were, Music City Todd. I can't tell you who they were, though. And he told them, I will not coach again. I'm not coaching again. The what would it be, cyst in his brain, whatever they call it. When he gets excited, leaks, and it causes him problems. Dizziness. If he gets too excited, like the Purdue game, makes him feel like he's going to pass out. He says, I can't get past that. The other part of Urban Meyer is he and President Drake at Ohio State, he hates that guy. You could tell at that last press conference when he was suspended how he – you look at the body language. I'm not a body language expert, but some things are easy to tell. You could tell at that press conference, I would rather not be here with this guy. This guy is not part of Team Ashtabula Jesus. Anyways, he says he's not going to coach again. Just Business says, Bill, would you agree that the University of Florida with Emmett Smith was only worthwhile when you're talking about football in the state until Bobby Bowden? Well, you got to remember now, Spurrier takes over and Emmett turns pro. But before that, and again, Emmett Smith was, you want to go back to recruiting, and I got to get Gator Dave, I got to get the bottom of the hour, but if you want to go back and talk recruiting and not necessarily what Just Business was talking about, but he was out of Pensacola, Escambia, and everybody wanted him, but some thought he was too slow. Remember the name Max Empinger? He was one of the originals. I was going to say pioneer, but he wasn't very good, so I'm not going to give him pioneer status. But he's one of the first to try it. And he had Emmett relegated down some because he didn't like his speed. Emmett was not a speed guy, even though in games it didn't seem to matter, right? If you take Emmett out on a track and you say, everybody race, he might not win the race. If you go play football and you take off your pajamas and you actually put on pads, Emmett dominates. So the stopwatch did not adequately measure Emmett when it comes to what kind of football guy you're going to be. Yeah, take that stopwatch and throw it in the ocean. Take that stopwatch. He's from Pensacola, which is very close to Orange Beach. Go to the Pink Pony Pub? I think that's what it is. Go to Floribama. Take that stopwatch and throw it as far out into the water as you can where it will never be seen again. That's how important that watch was for Emmett Smith. We've got to get the break here. Gator Dave's coming up. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Still clearing a crash on I-40 going eastbound between Old Hickory Boulevard and Charlotte Pike, as well as a crash on 440 at the I-65 exit. In South Nashville, I-24, a wreck on Hickory Hollow Parkway, the eastbound exit, and a broken down vehicle blocking part of 18th Avenue South at Broadway. Smashville Moving Company. Moving, hauling, cleaning, no job is too big. SmashvilleMovingCompany.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Take a step toward updating your home with exclusive LifeProof vinyl plank flooring from The Home Depot, starting at just $2.99 a square foot. It locks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch resistant, and comes in a variety of trendy styles. With over 40 colors to choose from, that's a step in the right direction. Today is the day for doing with LifeProof vinyl plank flooring, starting at just $2.99 a square foot. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. for the ones who get it done.
Yankee Doodle wanted fun for just a single dollar. Found a jackpot in the millions and began to holler. Lotto America, look it up! The prize is getting bigger. Mind the rules and play today and you could be a winner. Go to town on Lotto America and put the country's hardest working game to work for you. Lotto America from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Ever thought about all the things that are fast and fun? Like race cars, roller coasters, and horses. Know what else is fast and fun? Adding quick cash to your next Tennessee Cash Play for the chance to win up to $500 instantly. Plus, a chance to win the Tennessee Cash Jackpot drawing later. Have some fun now and later with Tennessee Cash, featuring the new Quick Cash add-on, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. A chance of showers for this morning. Partly sunny with your high at 94, a heat index value at 101. Cloudy overnight with a low of 76. A chance of showers on Thursday. Partly sunny with your high at 91. Friday mostly sunny with your high at 90. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The home of commitments and other stuff. The Bill King Show.
Gator Dave joins us on Wednesday. Had a work conflict, so I needed to move it to today. Dave, how's it going down there in Jacksonville?
Pretty good, Bill King. Podcast doing good, and it's kind of ramping up for SEC Media Days next week.
Are you going?
I'll be there.
Going to Hoover, Alabama at the Winfrey Hotel. I've only done about 30 of those. I will never go again unless it comes to Nashville. And I might not even go if it comes here. But anyways.
last year was in Atlanta. Was the first year I was able to go, you know, with the podcast and stuff. So I get to go again this year. And, hey, it'd be good. Mullen in Florida are Monday. So we'll have plenty to talk about next Tuesday morning.
So I was making fun of some of the haters. Backup DB transferred. He got in some trouble. The charges were dropped. We need to be accurate about this. But he put his name in the He Gone Gateway, and he'll go wherever. But a lot of the haters are saying, Bill, it's not that. It's the cumulative thing. Is there anything to worry about there?
No, there's not. I mean, Mullen's in his second year, and Bill, you know just as good as I do, a coach early in his tenure, the first couple years, or there's going to be transfers. Guys who stick it, you know, some guys transfer right away, and some guys stick it through the first year, see if they can make headway with the new coaching staff. And if they can't, you know, after spring practice, once they kind of find out that they're not really going to be on the field, I mean, look, Florida, yeah, nine players, it is a lot. And some of them are some odd circumstances in which they're leaving. But you're early in the coach's tenure, once the players left for McElwain realize they're not going to play really here under Dan Mullen either, they're going to go try and play somewhere else. And look, some of these guys I think can be, you know, starters at lower tier schools. And Brian Edwards, you know, he had the charges dropped for a domestic violence case. I think that's more of just a kind of fresh start for everybody, you know, off-field issue. Get away from Gainesville. You know, Gainesville's, you know, if you find yourself in trouble in Gainesville there, get away from it. Maybe you can start your career going somewhere else. Yeah, it is odd. Now, you know, the two that are odd, Jalen Jones, but he found himself in an off-field situation as well. That needed to be cleared up. And it was kind of and he wasn't after that and a lot of other things that were going on off the field with him. It was, hey, look, you really don't need to be in the program anymore. I think it really just, you know, Florida letting him save face a little bit by letting him transfer is really instead of just kicking him off the team there. Chris Steele, you know, that's the Jalen Jones and Chris Steele are the two weird ones. You know, they're guys who
were true freshmen, early enrollees. We'll never see the field. Chris Steele saw a lot of time in the spring with Marco Wilson recovering from injury. That's one reason Brian Edwards is transferring. Chris Steele was getting all the reps in spring, so he saw himself being passed on the depth chart. Had some off-field issues. He's going to lead the program. Chris Steele, I know it really comes out now. We were a couple months removed from that scenario. He just really wanted to be closer to home. Had some family issues there. Wanted to be close to home after going cross-country to Florida. But you know, to go down the list, Bill, Daquan Green, four-star recruit under McElwain, was never going to see the field really at Florida. T.J. McCoy was passed by Nick Buchanan at center last year. He transfers to Louisville to go get some playing time. You can't blame him there. Antonius Clayton, a four-star defensive lineman, never really put it all together for Florida, was passed on the depth chart in the spring as well. Kind of Malik Langham as well, recent transfer to Vanderbilt from Florida. He was a four-star defensive lineman. This was only his second year. He redshirted last year. He was passed on the depth chart in the spring as well, so he saw himself not getting a lot of playing time. And then there's two linebackers, Kylan Johnson, Rashad Jackson. Those guys were depth pieces at linebacker, but those are two of the guys that I can really see going somewhere, a lower-tier school. I like what they did at Florida, but they wanted to get some playing time. They wanted to go start. So Kylan Johnson, Rashad Jackson. I think Rashad Jackson, if I remember right, went to UNLV, if I believe, if that's right there. So you need to go get some playing time. So a lot of these guys were really passing the depth chart. They're not huge, you know, except for Chris Steele. Bill, I'm not, you know, panicking of that Florida lost some, you know, key guys here. It's just really, you know, some depth pieces. And, you know, yeah, in the SEC you need some depth here, but, you know, these guys want to go get some playing time. And as easy as it is to transfer right now, they're going to go get some playing time. But, look, LSU's got a ton of transfers. FSU had a ton of transfers. South Carolina's had a ton of transfers. Virginia Tech had a ton of transfers. We don't hear about those programs and everybody hitting on them and then calling it a culture problem at those schools. Like I said, so I think it's more about, you know, it's early in the coach's tenure at Dan Mullen. Some of these are McElwain guys and the odd circumstances of Chris Steele and Jalen Jones.
Well, this works and flows both ways, though. You lose players who want to transfer for whatever reason that you just described. It also opens up many scholarships for new, fresh, incoming talent.
Yeah, and a lot of that comes back to, you know, also this recent 2019 class, and you know, there's still a few players who De'Ave Hammond lately, the offensive guard from Lakeland last year, he's going to have to go the JUCO route. DeJuan Black has to go the JUCO route. His plan is to come back to, you know, get to Florida. It's tough for JUCOs to get into Florida, so we'll see how that all works out. But you get two initial counters back because those guys never hit campus. Those guys were never enrolled. You get those two counters back, so Florida will be able to, you know, add two more to this coming class. But, yeah, eventually down the road, you know, Florida's right now at, I believe, 78. Scholarships now. I have to check that. 72 or 78. We'll kind of see where Noah Banks, where he ends up, and part of 78. Yeah, 78 out of the 85 scholarships Florida has right now. So right now, it's not a huge issue for 2019. Florida's going to be a young team in 2020, 2021. So, you know, you need some depth pieces there, Bill. And, you know, what it means to me is you really, you know, kind of talking about, you know, opening up, you know, numbers down the road. You know, for the rest of the 2019 class and this 2020 class that's coming up, it does mean you have to hit on those players. It's a smaller class now for the 2019 class, so the guys that do come on campus, you know, those guys have to hit. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to have any excuses there. You know, it's a smaller class. Mullen and his staff are known for developing, so that's one thing you wish these guys, you know, come in, be able to take a year or two and get developed. You know, and especially for this class that is about to leave now, it's heavy on McElwain's players, so, you know, a lot of the Mullins guys are going to be able to sit by the wayside and get developed. But, you know, coming up now, you know, for this 2019 class, you'll have Kyer Elam coming in, Chester Kimbrough, Jadon Hill at cornerback, and that guys are, you know, they're going to have to be counted on for sure. You know, with the recent depth issues caused by the transfer, you know, the smaller classes does mean you will have to hit. This 2020 class may be a little bit bigger than what we initially thought, and you're going to have to hit on those guys as well.
Georgia Dog on Twitter says, Bill, ask Gator Dave if the Miami game is a must win for setting the tone for this year's team.
I'd say absolutely, just because I think there are high expectations for this Gator team. You're going into the season top 10. Now, I hate to say it ruins the season if it's lost. If that game is lost, I think it will be hard to recover from mentally. You'd have a bye week after that there to kind of rally the troops. But, no, I mean, I go back to last year, and after the Kentucky game, it was the second game of the season, and, you know, we sat there and looked at that game and said, oh, man, you know, Florida has a long way to go. This offensive line is still nowhere near where it needs to be. Felipe Franks, you know, still struggling along with some of the, you know, better SEC defenses. The defense just got carved up for over 300 yards rushing. You know, this team has a long way to go, and, you know, we look in December here, Florida's a 10-win team, or, you know, after the bowl game, it's a 10-win team. So, yeah, I hate to depend so much on one game and say they, you know, they can't bounce back or anything. But I think for Florida to be, you know, that live up to that expectation of a top 10 team, to go and compete against Georgia in the SEC East and, you know, maybe make it to Atlanta, I think you have to go win that Miami game. It'd be hard to bounce back if you lose that game. And plus, look, I mean, you're going against a brand new coaching staff in Miami, led by Manny Diaz, that Dan Mullen knows very well. You know, it'd be hard to stomach a loss versus a new staff. Even though, you know, talent level is pretty even on both sides, if you just want to go by recruiting rankings and kind of where the teams have been the last 4 or 5 years and the guys that are taking the field. But, you know, well, Florida's got the experience in quarterback and wide receiver playmaking positions. And I think a better over, and I think with Todd Grantham in the defense that he's bringing to the table, it would be hard to stomach a loss against Miami.
Well, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but they were posting pictures of Tate Martell's girlfriend. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, no.
Okay, well, she's very attractive, and the word from the Twitter audience, and you know Twitter rules, right? They make all the rules, and they tell you how it's going to be. The only way he can keep her, because she's not going to stick around if he's the bum quarterback that some of the detractors say he is, not very good. So the only way, Gator Dave, that he keeps her is if he plays well. So if I'm the Gators, I'm worried about this. That's my point.
Oh. Well, okay. I mean, who knows? You know, that's what it takes for him to get up and go. We'll see. You know, that is the interesting piece of this game. This game here, and who Miami decides to go with at quarterback. Some people seem to think Nikosi Perry. Some people still think Tate Martell would transfer, and what he was able to do in the spring game there. It is an interesting side piece. It's by Miami. I don't know. I don't know how they'll do it. If it's me, I probably don't name a starter until game day. But, you know, maybe they name one early just so that guy gets all the reps as they go along in practice. But if it's me, you know, I keep Florida guessing. I keep Todd Grantham guessing, you know, all the way up until August 24th when you don't know who that quarterback will be, because they bring something different to the table. You know, they're not the same quarterback. It may be the same offense, but Tate Martell's going to freelance a little bit more than Nikosi Perry will. So if I'm Miami, it's me back there, you know, making Florida guess all the way up until game time.
This time of year is when coaches can kind of get away a little bit. Vacation, get away just a little. They do it in waves. You can't have everybody gone. But, Dave, I've got an anonymous source. I cannot mention who this is, who says that Todd Grantham, while on vacation, is not sleeping well, worrying about Nikosi Perry. That's what I'm hearing, Dave. I'm just telling you. He's not sleeping well at all.
The turnover machine that Nikosi Perry was last year, maybe Todd Grantham's not sleeping well because he's dreaming of all those fumbles and interceptions and stuff that defense will be getting. So we'll see. But no, I actually like the Dan Enos hire at offensive coordinator there for Miami. I was, you know, I like what I saw from him at times at Arkansas. There and what he was, I'm not going to give him a whole lot of credit for what was done in Alabama and Mike Locke there. I think that was more him, more so than it was Enos there. But yeah, you know, I'm not hating on the hire as much as some people are. I think it was a good hire for Miami, a good hire for Manny Diaz to get an experienced offensive coordinator there. So I think it's a good hire, not a great hire, and you'll kind of have to prove more with this Miami offense to make it a great hire.
Tell everybody about Gators Breakdown.
You can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Latest episode there we posted. Looking at areas for improvement from the Gators from last year, Bill. So, you know, taking a look at some early scoring. They got to get some points on the board in the first quarter of games. And, you know, taking a look at the pass defense and rush defense and the losses where they really struggled at last year. So podcasts can be found on all the platforms out there, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff out there, and YouTube as well.
Way to go, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Bill.
Got to get the break. Coming right back. Presented by, I think you know by now, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Still clearing a crash on I-40 going eastbound between Old Hickory Boulevard and Charlotte Pike, as well as a crash on 440 at the I-65 exit. In South Nashville, I-24, a wreck on Hickory Hollow Parkway, the eastbound exit, and a broken down vehicle blocking part of 18th Avenue South at Broadway. Smashville Moving Company. Moving, hauling, cleaning, no job is too big. SmashvilleMovingCompany.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on time traffic.
Napa Know How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers while supplies last. Offer ends 8/31/19.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with GEICO.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. GEICO could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now, Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling is reminding everyone to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This salute is brought to you by Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling, serving our area with pride for 6 years. For the best in residential and light commercial HVAC, Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling is a name you can trust. For installs, repairs, and much more, they kept you warm all winter. Now let them keep you cool all summer. Call Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling today, 615-339-4699. Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling. They're people who care.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
It's the Bill King Show.
Jim Corbin is one of the best coaches that I get to watch. Any sport, any day. He has taken a Vanderbilt baseball program and has made them the preeminent program in the United States of America. He's been to 3 natties in 6 years. He's won 2 of them. That's all-time kind of stuff. That's legendary stuff.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Tomorrow, Chris Landry will be with us, LandryFootball.com. He sent me a message when we were talking about Emmitt Smith and Emmitt not having track speed. He says, Bill, we could talk about it tomorrow, but Emmitt in the 3-cone drill was very, very good. He had great numbers, he said, both out of high school and in college. The 3-cone drill, which is more about burst and things than straight on speed. The other thing about Emmitt is he looked like he was gliding. You ever notice that? Emmett, when he ran, he looked like he was kind of scooting. But it never seemed to matter. All I know is Emmett would break the line of scrimmage and score touchdowns. That's all I recall. And he did it all the time. It's amazing. Out of high school, his biggest detractor was Max Emvinger. Max did not like the speed. Max must have been at the track or something when Emmett ran one day. Jeff 2 on Twitter says, Bill, from 83 to 13, from 1983 to 2013, 11 of the 33 Natties won, 33%, were from those new members of the Football Gods Country Club, Miami, Florida, and Florida State. Yeah, the state of Florida, we can argue who's got the best players, Florida, Texas, Cali. I put Georgia in there now, too. But there's no argument about the best state when it comes to winning. That's Florida. It's not even close. From 83 to now, but let's go to 13, Florida State would be the one with the most recent natty between those three schools. 11 Natties over that time frame. The state of California has how many between 83 and 13? Southern Cal, 05. Is there another one? Who am I skipping? Southern Cal, 05. They got one. 11 for Florida. How many does Texas have? The state of Texas now, not University of, but the entire state, talking about D1 natties in football. Texas circa, Southern Cal would have been 04. Texas circa 05, because they played each other. One. State of Florida has 11. Now, Alabama doesn't have the population base, even though it's a really good state for producing football players, but it doesn't have the population base to have the numbers that Texas, Cali, Florida, Georgia has. But if we go 83 forward, for the state of Alabama, you would have 1992, Gene Stallings. Then you would have 09, Alabama. 10 would be Auburn. 11, 12, Alabama, that's 5. You would have Alabama again in, what would that be, 15? Ohio State 14, 15, so that's 6. And then Alabama again in, what would that be, 17. So 7 natties for the state of Alabama, mainly Alabama, but 1 Auburn since 83. That's a little bit different measurement, though. Maybe not quite apples to apples, because Alabama, while it is a really good producing state when it comes to just in general football players, it is. Population base ratio to producing good ball players, it's a really good state. Just doesn't have the volume that those bigger ones do. But there's your number. Kind of skews it a little bit when you throw Alabama in there. It's a little bit different, but still, it's worth noting. Who am I skipping in there? Is there another state that I could be overlooking? Karen linked a site that, it's 24/7, sorry, that has college football programs on the verge. I will not have time here. Remind me after Newberg. I'll pull that piece up. I haven't even looked at it yet. Teams that they say are on the verge. I know the Aggies would be one of them. We'll see who else they put in there. Haven't seen it yet. probably interesting. Most of them probably won't be accurate just because most teams are on the verge. They think they are, but they're not. Most teams on the verge never actually get there. They were just on the verge. I do think the Aggies are flirting with this. And if they get Hollywood Demons, which they already have, committed, and that's not going to switch. And then they get Zachary Evans. Things could get very interesting. This year, the schedule is too tough. So I don't expect huge things out of the Aggies. But the future is stacking up. Roster-wise, pretty good for them. Hour 3 coming up. Josh Newberg from 24/7 Sports Omni.